To the cloud. Okay, welcome back. This is T-Touch for You Online, our immersion program. We are in day five, and this is our second hour today. And Linda, you want to talk for a moment, start back up? And
good job. Yes, it's really helpful when we're reviewing these, and because quite a few people are listening again to it. We now did the right brain concept of, you know, visualizing, and now we're going to be actually looking at the practical different parts of the hand. And when I started with this idea of giving different parts, naming different parts of the hand, the idea was I'm going to just have us remind this. Sandy, if you can get me so we can see.
I'm trying.
we'll put that aside for a moment.
Okay, so not.
I was going to, but then I realized it's kind of a dry thing. Let's just hold our, hold our fingers up, our hands. Look at our hands. Look at these hands. The thing, each one of you, the thing that is so fascinating to me is the fact that we have connections to all parts of our body in the hands. And by when I first had the idea of, you know, calling the various parts of the hands, naming them after animals I had worked with, I had no idea that I was actually bringing the spirit of the animals into the work and connecting us with nature in the way that we now know is so important to us. That is really fascinating. And so I don't know if you can get me right now. I just see you, Eleanor.
You do?
Yeah. So I'm trying to get a bigger picture so we can actually hold hands up here.
Oh, okay.
You are. When you speak, Linda, you're in the full screen for everybody else.
Oh, okay. I can't see myself. So I'm trying to see what am I doing up there, right?
That's maybe. Awesome. Oh, yeah. When that's
okay, so what I'd like you to do is hold up the hands and let us honor the different animals, actually, that are represented with various parts of the hand. So we know that we have the abalone, and when we put our hands together in this way, with this curve. We have the curve because the abalone, for those of you in German, it was mistranslated, actually. It's not a muscle as it's translated. It's an abalone. Big, big muscle underneath. And it gives you this connection, this clear connection on your body. That's a very calming connection. And it's one of the reasons for using the heart hug in this way, Janice, as you talked about, you know, it gives yourself a hug. It's really a complete soothing touch. And then the way we look at this, we have the clouded leopard, the pads, and you hold your hand like a big paw. And I think of that first little clouded leopard that I worked on. And we think of, okay. This part of the fingers, we're connecting to various parts of our bodies. And that is the most direct, I find it's the most specific awareness that I can bring in this way. Now, you can actually lie them down a little bit, and we get the lying leopard. And that was, as I was working on this very nervous little young leopard in the LA Zoo many years ago, he was like doing this, right? And as I just like really needing, not a good situation for his nervous system. And so as I just calmly, quietly worked on him, he like stretched out his front legs. And that's why this part on the underside, that's this part from the fingers, where the fingers meet the hand. That's the lying leopard. So as you put that, just put that, those parts of your fingers on your body. And if you are just using a part of that flat part, see, that's the leopard is to the fingertips to the where the hand meets. And now the leopard cub is just that first section of the fingers flat. Ah. And this is a very kind of soothing, calming effect, even if it's just a part, a small section. Ah. Now, we can tip the fingers up and get the very tips. That's the raccoon touch. That's what Karen usually has. Karen Freiling has little raccoon friends there generally with her. And if you've ever watched raccoons eat, you know how precise they are. And my original concept with the raccoon touch was working on very specific small areas of the body. It's really helpful with this. And it's very precise. Then we go to the nails. Nails with the fingers together. And there we have bear touch. And it came from this bear, Kenyan bear, that I worked on many years ago, just giving him, forgot to turn off my phone here. Let's get her on mode. That Kenyan bear, where I would just worked around the pads of his little, not kind of big feet, and just giving him the message, be very careful. Now be very careful with those claws. And then we had the tiger touch, bigger paw, and you spread them apart. And you can, that's a really nice thing to do to parts of the body. If you want to go a little deeper without creating a lot of pressure, but you can really feel it, this is very valuable. Now, you do need fingernails in order to be able to do that one. And this is what I love when you tip the fingers over. And those are the parts that we added in the last, how many years? I don't know, maybe 10 years. So the back of the fingernails, and this is a really nice thing that you can use on different parts of your body. Now, instead of your fingers, try the back of your thing. Just try your fingernails in this way. Interesting, isn't it? And that's actually the baby chimp. And then I can remember Karen Freiling standing in your mother's apartment and for the first time using this part from the tips to the second joint in our T-Touch for You class. Tips to the second joint. Feel how nicely this fits in there when you're working there. It's really non-threatening. If you don't want to use your fingers so well. I mean, so much. It's not as nice, unless you happen to be working on your glands, which is what my husband Roland does. Anytime he starts to get something not to feel so well, he goes for the glands here with the actual pads, and it really can affect your well-being. Okay, now, so interesting. I have mixed feelings about this. See, can you hold it up from the second joint, the first joint to the second, that part, with the fingers pulled up. Now, that's the chimp touch. Because I've had the good fortune to work with chimps, and it's so interesting to watch how they pull their fingers up. And we just in this class this week, when we were doing T-Touch between us, T-Touch for You between us, what we discovered is some people, if they have, didn't feel so comfortable, using their clouded leopards, this pads like this, they can actually get a really nice feeling with the chimp. And just, interesting. Yes. Just kind of move around in this way. And now try the fingers. And the fingers are way, very much more direct. When you fold your fingers over like this and use the chimp. And it's funny because I hadn't been doing this before until we were sharing it this week in the dog class. And it's quite nice and easy to do. So the different hand positions depend upon where you're working on the body. Now, how about this part when you get this 90 degree angle like this? Yeah. This is the orangutan as opposed to the baby orang. Baby orang, orang. Now, where do you use?
Hey, Linda.
Yeah.
Just for the people who are listening.
Oh, right. We've got people on the phone. Sandy, my gosh. I forgot. Yeah.
So you've been speaking the tip to the, that last hand you just said from here when you go
here.
Yeah,
thank you. No. So yeah, so the orang is when you hold your hands up and put your fingers down, so you have a 90 degree angle from the hand to the fingers, and so it's a tip to the knuckles. That's the orang. Thank you, Sandy. Yeah. Where I use that is there are kind of parts on the body. It's interesting. You can reach back and maybe just see what that feels like, you know, on the back of your pelvis. It depends on your angle. It depends how flexible you are. So I usually use this like on horses or dogs, and I use it on a human. If I'm working on another human, I'll place that on the hip as one supportive hand, because it's really, it's just not personal. It's very impersonal, but it's very solid, really steady. Now, I'd love to, could I just have a few hands up and see if any of you have been using the banana slug, where you curve your fingers, it has to be curved, and that makes a soft pad on the side away from your thumb, for those listening on the phone, the side away from your thumb, the side of your hand. So you hold your hand sideways, curve your fingers, because that softens the part between where the fingers attach and where the hand attaches to the arm. And that's the banana slug. Just for the heck of it, straighten your fingers. And now feel when you do a circle and a quarter with that part between where the fingers attach to your hand and the where the hand attaches to the arm. That's hard. If I curve my fingers, it makes it soft, a poachy thing. That's the banana slug. Can't be hard. Now, what about, so I wanted to see.
It can't be hard, meaning when you curve it, it's soft, not...
When you curve it, it's mushy.
It's mushy.
And when you flatten it, it makes that, it's stiff, it tightens it, and it's a hard spot. So it's not nearly as nice to feel. Do you feel the difference?
Yeah, no, I was clarifying because it sounded like it's not hard to do versus...
Oh, right. Got it. Thank you. This really helpful. Thank you. Now, any hands up? Have any of you been using that banana slug in for anything just in the last little while? I'm interested. In terms of on ourselves, I don't know that I use it. I use it a lot on people. I don't use it at all much on animals.
Janice is asking then what you're calling tip to the second joint.
Yeah, that is the baby orang. Thank you, Janice. Yep. So interesting, Pam Beats is writing, I use the banana slug, I assume, in my Feldenkrais practice. I'll not read anymore. Eleanor, you'll have to read that.
I have to exit the screen in a sec. I use it in my Feldenkrais practice quite a bit. Oh, really?
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, fantastic. Curious. Interesting.
Yeah. Good. And so now another part is this wonderful piece. It's the where the head of the thumb. The very soft part of the top of the thumb, between your thumb itself and where it attaches to your hand. it's that big soft pad that we call the elephant seal or the sea elephant in German. And it's because if you look at, if I hold my, sorry for those of you on the phone, but I'm just holding my hand up and I'm bending my thumb, and that bent thumb is that beautiful nose on the sea elephant, that little, that interesting looking shape of the head, the nose on the sea elephant. And that's where I got the idea. Now I use that particularly around my knees. That, I'm telling you, that took me from a 10 could not move pain on my knees to the fact that by the end of 20 minutes, I was totally normal and it's never come back. And it's been about 3 years ago that that pain hit me like suddenly. Like,
Linda,
funny because Gary and Sandy just posted that Gary uses the banana slug around the knees.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes, you could. You could.
So yeah. Linda, can you show, as if your shoulder is the knee, can you visually show what that would might look like if you
Yes, I can. Side? Yeah. I roll around. I make that just I make the contact and then I roll that soft pad part of my thumb. Top of the head of my thumb. I should know what that's called. I'm sorry, I don't. I stay away from the labels because this is not about medicine, but it would be probably helpful to know that. Maybe somebody can pop that in there. This, you see, that for those of you who can see it, this whole beautiful soft part from where the our thumb appears to be to the wrist.
And so you've been doing that, and Gary's been doing that around the
Gary's
knee.
Gary's been doing the banana slug.
Great.
Right.
And there's a couple of people sharing. Eleanor, you want to read some of those? That's great.
Yeah, because there's great. Some good stuff. Oops, where did it go? 1 second. Ugh. Give me 1 sec. I had it because I've got the whole screen.
Hello.
Okay, Pam.
Hello. No, this is Joyce.
Oh, Joyce. Okay. Hi, Joyce.
I have had incredible, great success with the banana slug. As an example, working on someone at a clinic whose back was really uncomfortable and the traditional work, again, before this class, but the beautiful traditional work. And I went to the banana slug because we had just learned it. And she went, oh, my gosh, what did you just do? And when I was finished, she had no pain. And I owe it all to the sweet banana slug. So there.
How beautiful.
Yes, it was fabulous. So I use it anytime something is really stuck, I go to banana slug and it melts it away. So thank you very much. I will unmute myself.
Joyce, wait. I love that the term melt away.
Yes.
Because that
Good.
Is so, that's what we do, isn't it? We melt these things as opposed to breaking up a knot. We melt it. And we can
yes, exactly.
1 1/4 beautiful circles around it. And that's brilliant.
Thank you. I just wanted to share with everybody.
Linda, thank you. Can I say something? What you just said was, and what you both just said was really important for people to hear, because the idea of melting it away versus breaking it up, because they're now finding that touching like this can actually dissolve the linking chain of those fibers that create the scar.
Oh, yay!
It's a total dissolving of, and that's exactly what you're feeling and sensing when you're saying melting.
Actually, I would. That's one of the things I really want you to bring to the celebration. We're going to have a list of things, the science and the spirituality of this work, and we'll bring this. I really would like a definite, just a short explanation of some of these new discoveries that we've been doing for years, and now we have the science behind it, and why it's so helpful to have it. I think I saw another comment down there that needs to be read by, no, it's disappeared now.
Oh, well, this is interesting. So Liza is asking, yeah, about the consciousness of the slug. So she says, is there consciousness of the banana slug, meaning Can you talk about that a little bit?
I suggest what you do is ask the banana slug.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know. Do we really? But I think it would be very interesting for us. And Lisa, I love that. Yeah, because let's ask, what the heck do we know, right, about the consciousness of a banana slug? We thought we knew so much that humans were the only one with consciousness, you know, with ability to use tools. Ha, ha. I don't know how many of you have seen that wonderful show on how crows and these different animals uses, not just the chimps. Crows are so useful. And of course, ants, I mean, ants to me, they're the, talk about, what is that? That's the group consciousness. That's the group consciousness, which is so interesting. So you see, there's so much. Now, there's another, a couple more touches that aren't out there yet very much. And one of them is really useful. It's the actual heel of the hand. And that that's the elephant foot for me. And there are times, moments, when I will just use it. Gary, I think I remember us talking about that in Minneapolis and in the Tea Touch for You. And it's just a beautiful, just because it creates, it's an easy roll. It's an easy thing, actually. And then if you just roll from the actual heel of the hand, you roll it over sideways to the banana slug. Interesting, isn't it?
That is.
And so Shannon is just writing the pad is the palm of the hand. Palm.
No, she said the pad in the palm of the hand near what? The thumb is called the thenar region. And then blah, blah, blah. But you said you wanted to know, so she pulled
it. No, I like it. I'd rather call it the elephant seal.
Because that's pretty clear that that's an elephant seal. I'm not sure how they came up with thenar, but okay, I like
that. And I love the German sea elephant. I love that. Even more. More important. Exactly.
You were such a serious deadpan face when you said that. It was hysterical.
Good. Thank you. Any other comments about parts that you use? We this is our, you know, this is what we want is to hear, feel, hear what you're doing, what you're thinking. Mary Lou, hi. I use the raccoon touch too.
For my knee for osteoarthritis.
Yes. Beautiful, isn't it? And when I had that knee incident where suddenly I was totally normal, never had a knee problem before, walking up the steps and suddenly it just, I couldn't move. It was so painful. I couldn't move. I hopped on one leg to a chair, sat down, and then I started with the raccoon touch. And I started down to see around the knee what was the range of the pain. And so
can you lower your screen so we can see what you're doing maybe?
Oh yeah, God, here I am working on my knee. And like you can see, I'll pull this up. Oops, there's my knee. And so what I did was just very carefully with the tips of my fingers move around to see, because I thought the issue was right like in the knee joint, that right in this area under, right to the left side of my kneecap. And but wait a minute, as I explored with the tips around it, for those of you on the phone, and by explore just do a little tiny circles with the tips of my fingers, I found that man, if I touched it with a two pressure, it was but if I went all around to find out with enough pressure, where's the discomfort, where's the pain? And it led me down the leg, about from the knee downward, must have been, what is that, like 8 inches, all the way down. Okay, so to a two pressure, and you all know by that, and I think Melinda, you will remember from the class two also, just that's a very, very light pressure. It was already, don't touch me there. So I went to a one. And I went there, and then I did the lying leopard. So I went from the tips where I'm exploring to flattening the fingers, and tiniest circle I could possibly make, you know, with the lightest. Then I kept working all around. I did this, now then I did the lying, that is the leopard cub, you know, just the first section of the fingers. Oh, carefully all around, did this. Just kept doing it, probably. I was doing one second circles, and then I started doing little pauses around, and then I could use the abalone on it after about 15 minutes. Whoa. And that's where I probably, Gary, I think you're right. I probably, on the right side of my knee, I would have rolled with the a banana slug, and on the top of the knee, and with around the other side, that's when I really got in there. And when I say got in there, I was using it all pressure I could use, like an eight, all I could put on, all around it, absolutely no discomfort.
Wow.
So I went from a one to an eight in about 20 minutes.
And when you said around the right side of your knee, it's because you're talking about the right knee. So you were
I'm talking about outside. The right knee. So that's the you just use whatever's easy.
Right.
Whatever you can easily reach. And actually, I see this. Look at this. This is interesting. Can you see? As I would come to the top, that's where I'm using the elephant foot, right? You see this nice little, like a pad. The reason I want to give you this image, the elephant foot, you might think of that as heavy. It's not. I have in my head the picture of a herd of elephants in Kenya walking across the grass, the plain, and walking so silently that you couldn't hear their footfall. And then they'd stop and they would take their foot and go zhook, and you could hear they caught the grass and clipped it off with their nails and put it in their mouth.
What?
The zip.
With their foot?
Zip,
with their
zip.
Foot?
Yes. Zip. Zip. That's what we could hear. But the foot itself was so soft.
Wow.
Yeah. So I want to bring that wonder into you. It was a moment that was very, very cool. Okay, so now I want us to be intrigued with we forgot the llama, because that is really, now I'm going to go back to my knee. Now say I had been like, if this was someone else I was working on, I probably would choose to use the llama, the back of my hand. But llama is any part of the back of the hand, but I, because I'm very attached to the orang, which is from the tips to the knuckles, I mostly think now of the llama. It could be any part of the open hand, but I think of it more as the back of the hand, not just the back of the fingers. So it's still, sorry, I don't want to confuse you. It can be any part of the back of the hand with the fingers lightly open, as opposed to, when I make this 90-degree angle from the hand, hold them up like this. So stay with me, the hand to the fingers. Now the orang is the part that hangs down, the fingers that hang down. And the llama, thanks to Marty McGee Bennett, is just any part of the back of the open hand, because it's non-threatening. The energy of the fact that we can't take a hold. It's a natural thing, I think. Now, any comments or questions about how you use that? How is it for you having the animal names as part of it? It's actually, and don't worry if you're new to this, because I know a few people are. Don't worry at first what you call it. You'll become intrigued over a period of time. Just move your hand in whatever way works for you.
So, Linda, I have a question.
Yes.
If we wanted to look more at the animal names of the hand, where would we find that?
You mean why I named it that?
No.
Well, post it. It's posted. You can put it up now, Sandy.
The parts of the hand?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. It'll take me a minute.
And then, Sandy, can you also post it on our Facebook page, too?
Yeah, this is a handout that
is
in the handout.
It's in the handouts on the immersion site.
Yeah, okay. I believe from class one.
So explain it, Sandy, because this was your idea to do this. This is a really cool idea.
Yeah, so this is a handout just as another learning tool so that you can have a visual of different parts of the hand. So I'm going to scroll down. This is Linda's palm, actually. And then the side, you can see where the banana slug will go, and then the back. And so I started typing in, different T-Touch names, and you can draw a line, you can, do it however you want. The idea behind this is learning from different ways. You can draw a hand and make, reference to it. You can use it, make a line from Heart Hug where you would, what part of the hand, the clouded leopard, what part of the hand you would use, the raccoon touch, the coiled python, abalone, write in other, since the first class, we've learned a lot of additional touches.
So what I'd like to suggest from this is we actually change that a little, because the idea was that we would just put all the different parts of the hand, not the part what you use, because I think that's a little confusing. Mm-hmm. What about the ear? We'll go back and take that off. So the idea was to have us draw a line from the name to which part is the raccoon touch, which part, and just fill it in there. That was the idea as a teaching tool.
Yeah.
So we will change it a little. Huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, but you see here, you can do it yourself. You just print this thing out and then put the names on all the different names.
But let's say they don't remember, then
Shannon has an idea.
Is there a place where you actually show?
No.
No.
We only do it in class. We don't. Right. That's why we create, this is the idea of creating this. Shannon has an idea.
Oh, good, Shannon. I look forward to hearing about that. Yeah, so this, a lot of the material for T-Touch for You hasn't been written yet. In this, like these types of things. And so as we're going along in this program, this time online, it's giving us the opportunity to start creating some of these materials and write-ups, because a lot of the specifics in the way that Linda is teaching it now, especially given the bringing in of the merging of science and spirituality, it is yet to be written and documented in that kind of a form that you're asking for. We're aware.
And actually, Mary Lou's right. We do have these on the cards. The cards show the parts. What we were trying to do here was take a hand and just differentiate all the parts on a hand rather than showing all of the parts. So we do have these in a different format in the cards. It shows actually and in the books too. It's in all the books.
We do.
Parts of the hand, but not in this way because it was my concept that we actually really honor the fact that we are using all these different parts of the hand. And it's more obvious if we section them off, I think. Trisha says, I'm new and find this very fascinating. Can we see the rest?
Yeah, and love that the animal energy is brought into the touches. As she says, as we are all one, we become even more of one through the touch and the animal energy. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes, and that's the gorilla in the closet, you all, that we have not been talking about is what do we mean by energy? Because for all these years, when I was in the Feldenkrais training, Moshe Feldenkrais never allowed us to use the word energy, because in those days it was not understood as it is from quantum science, but energy actually is. And so now it's important to talk about energy, because it's energy is everything. It's every thought, feeling, emotion, and belief that we have. That's energy. And when we recognize that, that's how we form. That's how we shape this world we crave, is by recognizing that and choosing the energy we want to put out there. Very nice. So I'd like to see the homunculus, and we're just going to do this very briefly, because this has been fascinating to me for years. This.
Hang on, it'll take me a minute.
We're only going to take a little.
So while she's doing that, I just want to send a thank you to Shannon that she was mentioning she could do this in Photoshop.
Great. Absolutely.
So if you could share it with everybody, Shannon.
We'll send it. She'll send it to us. That'd be great.
It's just my computer is slow, Linda, so bear with me.
I keep forgetting that.
I know.
Well, you know what? Hold it. Just let's not do this right now then, because I want us to take, we kind of started at quarter after by the time we got started and we added that other in. What I'd like us to do is take these different parts of the hands that we've been talking about now and take a journey through your body. We went into the forest and we talked to the trees. Now, let us just take we'll take about 6 minutes or so and use the various parts of your hand to talk with a circle and a quarter and a pause or a spiral. Talk to various parts of the body. And let's start together just doing the basic body blessing, which is the simple outline of the body, starting with one hand. Like I'm starting with my right hand now, for those of you on the phone, right hand at the top of the head, down the side of my head, just smiling and saying thank you, thank you. Really the simplest, all the way down to the foot.
For those listening, you're gliding.
Just gliding down the side with my hand, down the outline, just like Sandy and Robin Bernhardt did with that pilot study. Giving a sense of ourselves in space, the simplest kind. And when I do this, it's completely different. It's just like, whoa, this whole left side I started on feels very different from the right side. Now what I'd like you to do is just in this time, give thanks to the body and find those areas you want to thank. And then the areas you want to think, wow, I would like to really bring you in with a new awareness. All parts, any part that you can easily reach. Reach back with your hand behind you. Oh, we have to show you one other little thing after. You'll find a way, and I'm going to show you another way, another touch that, ooh, I forgot. So just explore your basic circle and a quarter, spiraling, and talk to the cells. Remember your breath. How's that? How's your posture? In terms of being easy on your body. What's the message you're sending? And I'm actually going to call in the dolphin energy because of this out-breath that you can actually hear. It's like I'm going to imagine also, I'm going to invite us all to imagine that we're actually in a beautiful ocean bay with warm water, and we're doing this to our body in the water. And that out-breath that I'm doing a little louder than usual, that's actually the voice of the dolphins. And they're bringing that joy that we're going to put into each 1 1/4 circle. It's a dolphin joy. And just remember, in the water, you can move your body a little as you're doing it. However you're sitting, move your body also with each 1 1/4 circle. And the parts that maybe you can't reach so easily that you'd like to talk to, just like send that in with a little spiral in and a little breath, like the wind coming through the trees and into your cells. Feel the beautiful feeling of the water as you just gently move, as though you're in water. And just be aware, like, all the different parts of your hand. Just move your hand in every different way you can. Don't worry about what it's called. It's just saying hello to yourselves in this 1 1/4 way. And I'd like us to end this by putting one hand over the other in the abalone shape and put it on your abdomen. And send just this 1 1/4 circle in and a pause and talk to all of the bacteria, all of this bacteria that we want, all the positive bacteria that's really helpful to us. Let's talk to that. And just invite any other that isn't so useful to us to transmute into the light. And for that, you might do 1 1/4 circle and 1/4 circle back and invite the release of any bacteria that is not serving you. And then let's do two more basic abalone circles and give thanks again to all of that wonderful workings of all of our organs and our many I wanted to say miles, but we're not horses. Of our intestinal tracts. Thank you. Thank you. How important you are to us. And now we're just going to end this hour and leave you in this space, and we'll call you back in 10 minutes. And finish however you would like.